Thank you again for choosing our session. And I would like to introduce myself, and then I will have our micro presenter introduce herself. The title of our presentation is Community Voice in Strategic Planning for Health Equity. My name is Gail Brandt, and I am with the Washington State Department of Health. That's the other Washington on the northwest coast of the United States. And I am the Health Equity Manager for our State Health Department. And my co-presenter is...
Hi, I'm Emily Turk. I'm an MPH candidate at the University of Washington in Seattle. And this project was my practicum with Gail at the Department of Health.
All right, so Emily and I worked together from January to June of 2015 on this project. So there were two purposes for the project. And one was to develop a tool to assess department practices that advance or impede health equity work with partner organizations and agencies. Now, one of the guiding principles of our strategic plan within the department is strong, respectful partnerships. So this project really was in support of our achieving the strategic plan that's built on the guiding principle of partnerships. So again, wanted to develop a tool. And then the second one is using that tool as a pilot is to understand how successfully the department engages with community partner organizations to advance health equity projects. So we had a research question, and that is, does the Washington State Department of Health, Office of Healthy Communities, meaningfully and respectfully engage its community partners in developing and evaluating health equity programs? Now, we selected one office within the department. This office has about 10% of the staff of the entire health department. And we want, because it was a pilot, we wanted to start small with one group, the staff within this Office of Healthy Communities, and then be able to go across the department once we had developed the tool and piloted it with partners working with this office. So we had several methods as we approached this. The first was to look at a literature review of assessment models. So who was doing what across the country, and what could we learn from them in terms of developing our tool? We identified participant selection criteria. So we've got multiple partners, external partners. And so how are we going to select those who would participate or be invited to participate in the project? Then we recruited participants. And what I did is I asked the program managers and staff, would you please recommend partners that you think would be interested in participating in this project? And select people who would give glowing reports, as well as people who had some concerns with the department business practices in terms of achieving health equity. Then we created a set of interview questions, and we have a surveillance and evaluation unit within our office, and so the staff there were very helpful in our developing those questions. And then, as Emily will talk to you about the interviews themselves, conducted 21 phone interviews with our external partners. Now, one of the sources of inspiration and direction was the Bar High recommendations for participant selection. Bar High represents the Bay Area Regional Health Inequities Initiative and have produced a toolkit and guidance for local health departments in terms of achieving health equity. And so this was a great guide for us. You could certainly go Google Bar High and learn more about the organization and its toolkit and guidance. So the in terms of really having community representation, not high levels, other state departments that work with us, but getting down to the community level. Providing critical services, so these partners do provide services to community groups, that the partners have a pre-existing relationship with the department, either their current partners or have been immediate past partners with us. And we wanted various types, locations, issues and positions. So we wanted big partners, small partners, health departments, tribes, community organizations from across the state and working in different areas of focus. We wanted the head of organizations as well as sort of line workers. Because we thought that was important to get that that great variety. So I'm going to turn it over to Emily now, and she's going to talk a little bit about the interview questions, the process we used, and also what we found out.
So these are some samples of our interview questions. I'm not going to read all of these, but we're basically asking what's going well collaborating with the health department and what's not going well. So we had about 7 questions total. And as Gail said, I conducted 21 phone interviews. The participants were sent a project overview and a consent statement. And then I also gave them a sample of the interview questions. They were assured anonymity, so I made sure that they knew that this was a confidential interview and that actually I was the only one that knew who was selected. Gail didn't even know the participants that were selected. And that I also made sure that they understood that no descriptive participant data would be in my report and that there were no identifiers such as name or organization. And I also let them know that we'll be sending the final report to the interviewees, so I sent a draft to them and let them know that I wanted their feedback before I finished the reports to ensure that their feedback was captured. So phone interviews are about 30 minutes and interviews were recorded if consent was given. And we identified, based on the selection criteria, about 140 partners that had that existing relationship with the health department and the rest of the selection criteria that Gail spoke of. And then out of those, we selected 30 partners, invited 30 partners as kind of a representative sample of that larger group. And 60% of the 21 interviews, 60% were nonprofit organizations, and then 40% were local health jurisdictions and government agencies, including tribes. So there were kind of 4 themes that came out of, we looked at all the themes and there was 4 that were prominent. So I'm going to read through these and then give you some quotes from the partners. So number 1 was it's important to involve people of color in all levels of program planning and implementation and earlier in the process. Number 2, there was a concern about turnover. So the Office of Healthy Communities has a lot of turnover, and that it could undermine the capacity to build strong trust-based relationships with community partners that endure over time. Number 3 was kind of delays in contract approvals, so timing. Partners worry that the delays in contract approvals and other procedures signals a lack of respect for their time and resources. And number 4, ending on a positive note, partners expressed an appreciation of OHC efforts to collaborate and overwhelmingly reported things are getting better, things have improved over time. So rather than me explaining those, I thought the words of our partners speak louder. So these are 4 quotes that correspond with those 4 themes. So the first theme, remember, was involving people of color from the beginning. Let us know about grant opportunities. Invite people earlier on to the planning committee. Include people of color from the beginning. And the second theme was around turnover. Based upon relationships, some are great, then they'll leave and we may not have a good relationship. We have to start over building a relationship with someone else. And the third theme, which was around timing. There are layers that we have to go through for approvals. We're still expected to complete a project in time, though I got the contract 3 months late. We give everything they ask for at 5 p.m. on a Wednesday, but I had to wait 3 months for a contract. And then the last theme of things are getting better. A lot of efforts went into establishing networks with various organizations. There's a lot more engagement today and opportunities to provide feedback and assessments of how things are going. So some limitations to our to our project is that it was a small sample size. This was a 6-month master's level project, so unfortunately I couldn't interview 140 people. The results of the assessment are not entirely generalizable, and so there's of course limitations to the strength of our conclusions. And then interviews were conducted over the telephone versus in person. Again, time and distance limitations from being, you know, our partners are located all over the state. We would have loved to do them in person, and as evidence, I did conduct one interview, which happened to be a community organization that was in my neighborhood. So I went in person, and that really provided a lot more discussion. Participants seemed to be more relaxed after 20 or 30 minutes. So it'd be great to do these in person as a recommendation. So we came up with some recommendations based on partner feedback. This first one, in her book, Community Organizing and Community Building for Health, Meredith Meekler calls attention to power imbalances that remain in community participation, and that it's important that we avoid tokenism, which she defines as participation without authority. So that goes along with that first theme of involving people of color early and giving them, you know, being transparent. The second is around gatekeeping. The UW School of Public Health participated in an Undoing Institutional Racism workshop this year. And we learned a lot about gatekeeping and how, as public health professionals, as well-intentioned as we are, we're still often gatekeepers in controlling the flow of access to information and resources. So making sure that we're freely giving access to our partners. The third theme is around turnover. We can mitigate the harmful effects of turnover on partners by ensuring an adequate transition. And for example, performing a proper closeout meeting between partner and existing program manager, circulating an org chart, making sure that positions are openly shared, and finally dedicating time internally discussing the impact of high turnover on relationships with our partners. And then finally, improving response time, signaling to partners that they're important. DOH managers could align incentives to favor more prompt employee response time, changing the reward system internally and shifting cultural beliefs around time, kind of encouraging people to hit that ball back faster to partners. So transparency is the key here. I included a resource at the bottom, the People's Institute, and they have some great recommendations for things like undoing institutional racism workshops like we did in at UW. So now I'll turn it over back to Gail to wrap up and explain our next steps.
Thanks, Emily. So just in closing, I'd like to tell you what we did with Emily's great work. And that is that we have done an internal review, both in the office. Remember I told you that we selected the partners for one office within the department, and so we reviewed that internally, and as well as bumping it up to senior leadership to say, you know, while we did this with one office, in fact a lot of the results apply to all of the work that the department does, and so we need to be responsive to what our community has said. Community partner review. Emily did share the report with those who were interviewed, and we need to share that more widely with people who are also, or organizations who are also not interviewed. Identify actions. I'll tell you about a couple of those actions, and then pilot interventions. Remember I said that this was a pilot project. We wanted to identify a tool and then also business practices that seem to promote or impede achieving health equity. And so some of those interventions were in the process of developing and piloting, and then of course evaluating on a continuous basis. So let me just tell you about a couple of outcomes. The first one actually is very exciting and interesting. A student that followed Emily in terms of working with me read her report, and she's been doing work with our tribes. We have 29 federally recognized tribes, and we have a a very strong relationship, and it's particularly hard for tribes when there's transitions internally with turning a contract over from one STEM person to another. So we have a recommendation from that student to develop a resource guide for working with tribes and really understanding not only the health but the political and the legal parts of the relationship. And that we're going to be developing that guide this year. Discussions are underway to address recommendations, and a partner focus group is planned for early in December, and Emily and I will be doing that. So I want to just thank you all very much for your attention. We will be here afterwards for any questions that you have or would like a copy of the tool. Thanks.